Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here with a name you know. How could you not? I think that he or maybe his lovely wife, Deanna, are number one all time on the most interviewed at Fightful list at this point. Neck and neck here. We're going to count them up. We're gonna find out. But we got Steve Maclin here. You're going to see him November 29th in Winston-Salem at Turning Point against Josh Alexander. I will be there. Very excited to see this in person at WrestleCade. Steve, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Pumped for WrestleCade. We were just chatting off screen, but excited for the holiday and then just ready to get back to work.
What are your holiday plans? And I mean, we were talking a little bit about the travel, but how is the travel for the household of a wrestling family?
Busy. It's been busy, but it's been pretty good. Up in Newark this past week at Full Gear was a lot of fun to just kind of see everybody behind the scenes and then be able to just be there to support my wife and just watch her in front of our hometown crowd in Newark at Prudential was pretty cool. And then having the in-laws there, and it's a good time.
It is a good time. What was that reception like for you backstage? Like Danny Cage, for example, I know saw you and chatted with you, Monster Factory brother there, but how was that for you?
Oh, it's good. I love going backstage just to see everybody I haven't seen in a while. And I've seen everybody from every different locker room and from everywhere around the wrestling community. So it's just fun. And then I also kind of just go and hide too. I like to sneak out and watch the show live just because it's also not my locker room, not my place. So it's just one of those things that I'm there for my wife at that moment, not there to just be anything else other than just support my wife and be there.
A lot of times I'll get pictures from fans and they'll be like, did you know Steve Maclin's here? Why is he here?
Just because I'm there. My wife works there is the obvious,
I know.
Most obvious reason, yes.
So, like, that was actually when I solicited questions from fans. They're like, what is it like being in a two-promotion household? Because you all have been that a number of different times. I mean, you all have worked together before, obviously, but you guys are always very supportive of each other. I mean, Deanna has been backstage at TNA shows. Obviously, she knows people there. Everybody in the business like Steve Maclin. I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about you. It seems like you're always welcomed there.
Yeah, it's the wrestling world. We're all working for the same goal, and that's to make the best product, whether it's AEW, TNA, NXT, WWE, like where you're wrong, SmackDown. But mainly my focus is always on how can I make TNA better? And it's the wrestling community, as big as you see, it seems to a lot of people, it's very small on how it is.
So that brings me to another question that was solicited from a reader. This one out of left field, but it's from a Deanna P. And it says, who is credited as the first explorer to sail around the world?
Columbus? I don't know.
It's Ferdinand Magellan.
Magellan. Now that's why it makes sense that it was the Magellan back in the day on the
Windows. Yeah. That makes sense. There are little context clues added in through modern day life that I have picked up from some of these. I genuinely enjoy you getting ambushed on Instagram with history questions. I love it.
I love it just because it's funny. Because it's anytime I'm doing any household thing. Like the other day, I was remulching and then I started doing a little bit of the outside decorations for Christmas. And she's just like, "Hey, babe," I'm like, "I already know where this is going. What do you need?" So
I have my wife is also a teacher. And we know plenty of teachers. One of my teacher friends sent me one of her Instagrams, and she's like, "Hey, I just realized this girl is a wrestler. Do you know her?" I'm like, "I know both of them.
I've interviewed." That's good. We're reaching a different audience.
Yeah,
that's the good part about it.
It's you're transcending there. Well, I mean, I feel like you certainly did that with this vignette that aired on last week's TNA. I am so interested to talk about this in long form here. I mean, I know that things like that are something that you are very willing to do. We've seen it before out of you, like these well-produced vignettes. How does the ball even get rolling on something like that?
When I get the green light from the office after pitching it for so long, and it was an idea for this vignette, especially the idea And the origin of it is taking from Apocalypse Now, when Martin Sheen's in the hotel room at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. And it's kind of just him being there and dealing with all his PTSD and just having to deal with Vietnam. And I just wanted to take that element and, like, how can we bring this to life? And yeah. It was something that I went with Robert Evans a lot. And we were sitting there just coming up with ideas. And this is something from 2 years ago that I had an idea for. And it's funny how things like this work out, where here we are in the storyline, me turning babyface. Like, how do I create this sympathetic side of me to get people invested in me this way and open up a little bit more as well to the fans, so you can kind of see my side of life and through my eyes? And working with EY has been awesome with it, especially him just kind of being the mentor that he's been my entire career, that we've known each other. I've always gone to him for advice. But then even for the team that was involved with Eric Tompkins, you had Kevin Martin in the back, Lamp, Robert Peek, who shot everything, who is just a genius with the camera. And I, if you please go follow him and follow his work, especially for how he sees things through a lens, is just amazing. And just everything came together perfectly for this. And I'm very much looking forward to how we can continue this too.
So, I mean, the full vignette that we saw, especially on social media, like 6 minutes long. I mean, that is, you know, by any standards in wrestling, like very, very long to do something like that.
Yeah, for 6.5 minutes to keep attention on a story, that was the one thing. We weren't sure if it was going to get broken up into parts on the episode and kind of go back and forth. And Tompkins was the one, he's like, I think to get the raw feel and the grittiness of it and to really get the emotion into it was to have it go full in. So to have 6.5 minutes of television time, just without even wrestling, is, I was just telling Blake about it earlier, we were catching up, and it's just crazy to just like think, I'm like, that's probably right now the most TV time I'll ever have as a character without even wrestling, and being able to just speak my voice. And I really didn't speak much. It was just more the mannerisms and the facials and the way everything was edited, and it just worked out perfectly.
We have seen, you know, seeing a 6 minute in-ring mic time promo isn't that out of the ordinary in wrestling, but then when you're watching like the actual episode and you see a 6.5 minute vignette, like you realize as it's going on, you're like, this doesn't really happen. Like, I don't remember ever seeing that happen.
No. And it's cool. And it's just a test to what TNA does. And I love it because it's a place where you can grow and you can show the world who you are and what your imagination is. And I'm lucky enough that with Ariel and friggin' Delirious backstage, like having them on creative and then having Tommy Dreamer there, having Eric Tompkins, who really kind of knew where I was coming from, and he's the one that edited everything and put it all together, is really cool because he got what the vision I have, especially being a vet, and he's a vet as well, and just trying to show that side and how can we bring this real-life character onto screen and portray it while treading that gray line, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
Without having to go one way completely or the other. Because I've always never wanted to be the Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Hulk Hogan, pro-America flag waving. I wanted to bring the real grittiness of how actual vets are represented in the real world, or how I see them, or how I even just feel myself.
So, I mean, when you're filming that, and I mean, it seems like it's your concept, your idea to do it. It's not necessarily, is that the case? Or is it somebody from TNA saying, well, we would like to explore this element of your personality? I don't even want to say character, because it's your personality. It's something you've been through.
Yeah, that's the funny thing in wrestling. Either a gimmick or your personality, you turn your personality all the way up. And for me, for my personality with it, it's been nice to just kind of, when we started getting the idea of turning me babyface, was like, all right, how do I get sympathetic? How do I get people more into that, the Frank Castle side of me, and that grittiness of it, and bringing that to real life for what I'm trying to portray? And even that John Rambo aspect, you can even put out there too, where it's kind of a mix between those two. And it was just, again, Eric Tompkins just kind of putting it together. And it just fit perfectly where we are in the story with EY and I, and dealing with the trust issue. And then also blending his world in from when he was doing Violent by Design and bringing in the prison, and just kind of, it was really cool. I'm very excited for what the future holds this next year in 2025.
And the Eric Young element, like, we've seen you wrestle him this year. We've seen you team with him this year. We've seen a lot of integration with him. How has that been? Because he's a guy that is one of the most versatile performers I've ever seen. Like, he's done everything. He's done cruiserweight, heavyweight, wrestled at the top of the card, bottom of the card, everywhere in between, singles, tag, trio, stables, everything. He's, WWE wanted him there producing for them. Like, he is an in-demand guy. It was like nope, I've got a set of morals. This is where I want to go and contribute. And I see you all very similar in like having huge wrestling brains.
He's like you just said, wrestling brain. And that's what he is. He's an encyclopedia for information and just for things that have worked, things that haven't worked, and just going out there and trying to do things. And he's done that his entire career. And that's why he is Eric Young. And he's made his name and he knows who he is. And that's the one thing, too, is like you want to go to the people that know who they are. You don't want to go to the people for advice that don't really understand who they are yet, because they're still trying to figure it out because they're in the same place as others. Where when you have people that have figured out, but they're still learning as well and adapting to what's going on in the new world, this is something that was a lot of fun to put together. And it was really, it meant a lot for me for us to be a part of this together.
So in him doing these vignettes, I mean, he's done stuff like this before as well, but again, it's a different approach. Like the filming, like, again, I'm interested in that. Like how is that process of doing that? How, especially compared to the vignettes that you did before.
That's so it's a lot more fun for me because it's almost the Hollywood aspect of pro wrestling and where you can even disconnect. And to bring up Danny Cage, he even said it to me, his best critique to me was just like, it didn't feel like a pro wrestler acting. It felt like an actor acting. You know? And that was to me, I was all right, cool. I'm onto something then with that, if that could be something later on down the road. But like, that's how I want things to come off and portray for me is how realistic can this be? What questions can I get from fans? Because then, of course, I'm texting Tompkins when it airs. I'm all right, cool. I can't wait to see certain feedbacks. I want to know the negative. I want to know the positive. I want to understand how people feel about certain things. Like some people might like, don't like the little split flashes of photos and all the, even my wife being portrayed in there with our wedding photos and her voice. So it's kind of cool to just see how people feel and react to those things and kind of just pick off of that. Now I can know something for down the road when we are going to do this again.
Was there anything in there you were like, okay, well, I don't want to feature that? Or were you pretty well like open about anything?
I had some way out there ideas that probably wouldn't, I don't know if been good for TV or could have been good for TV. I don't know. But it would have been a little, I don't know, on the rating scale, how the FCC would be. Is that FCC still even a thing?
Well, yeah, but not for access, to be fair. Not for access. You can curse up a storm on there. You can show ass cheeks if you want. You can do it. Not to say that you're showing ass cheeks in your vignette, Steve Mack.
I'll do the Mike Tyson ass cheek, I guess.
Oh, my God.
But no, like I had a few ideas that maybe I could save for my back pocket later on. But there's some things that I wanted to do that we didn't get to, but that just didn't fit in that moment, which is the best part of wrestling is we all put our pieces together. This is the idea. And then you get everybody's ideas into one big pot and then you just make what it is. And it's just fun to see what comes out of it. And I thought this was just a home run with the way it was viewed and the way it was taken from everybody too.
So we again, another reader question. This one I thought was very important. He said, this person says, the one I'm curious about, as a family member of a vet and a mom working in the VA, how does he handle the stress of working while also taking care of himself? His vignette was fantastic, but I'm curious as to how I can help the people that I love.
So I guess the question is how she can help the people that she loves.
And how, like, how you manage caring for yourself while also working, especially at this high level, traveling, all that as well.
I get to do a job that I grew up loving as a fan, and it's the coolest thing in the world, where my dad told me from when I was growing up is if you find a job that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Yes, it's work what we do, but it's also what I love and it's what I'm passionate about. And then I'm also lucky enough to have the support of my family, my mom, my dad, and especially my wife, for when there are times where if I'm going through something, they're always somebody I can lean on or have a voice to. And even the friends that I've met in this business, like an EY, my opponent this weekend, Josh Alexander, like people that I can go to, my old tag partner, Blake, like I talk to him every day and we just throw life ideas and what our thoughts are without even worrying about it or any judgment of that, just because that's what you should surround yourself with, is that support system. So hopefully that answers the question of is taking care of myself, is having a good support system around me, and also just focusing on what I can control and what I can worry about. And that's my body, my health, my family, and then just overall, my overall happiness.
You mentioned Blake. He is, like, people know now he is coaching at the PC. And one of the things I always loved to hear about you when people talked about you two was, what I mentioned about you and Eric Young, these wrestling brains. And I remember just mentioning to somebody that I thought that you would be like a very powerful producer in wrestling whenever your career is over. And they're like, oh, Blake too. They're like, he's the same way. They're like, both of them are like that. Did that help you guys like mesh immediately? Because it seems like there's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, I just think we just had common sense, or at least some sense of sensibility of just dumbing things down and not overthinking. And like how, and I personally, when it comes to in-ring, I try to simplify but make the most out of what we're trying to do and what's best for the match and that story of what's being produced for television. And it's completely different from live events or any independent show where it's just like, all right, let's go try some things, see how it works. We can do whatever because it's pro wrestling and these people paid a good ticket. Let's go have some fun. But for when it comes to TV, it's a different body of work. And it's just trying to dumb things down that can highlight that talent the most in those moments of what the goal is, of who we're trying to get over, what we're trying to get over, or where the story's going in the future is how I always kind of look at things. And he did the same as well. And I think that's also what let us mesh a lot, especially when it came to tag wrestling. It just was, we didn't have to think. We would just call one thing, whether it be we'd be like, hey, do the Henning, do the Bret Hart. Like we had our spots calling them like plays, or hey, Fort Pierce, Cocoa Beach. And like, we just do our spots that we knew we could implement.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
Into matches, and it just worked, and that just came from our time working together over the amount of years that we were in NXT together.
Well, a guy you've worked with before is your opponent on Friday, at this show Turning Point, November 29th in Winston-Salem, as a part of WrestleCade. Guys, again, I just want to shout out WrestleCade. It is a must visit for me every year. All due respect to WWE, I am ready to pass on Survivor Series every year to go to WrestleCade. I love it. It's such a good time. And North Carolina it's like Kentucky's Tether. It's like they're the same thing. Okay. Just a little bit of a different accent. But you've worked with Josh Alexander before. In fact, real hot streak you were on when you were working with him too. Like, I mean, it was like month after month after month, they're like, oh, wow, Steve Maclin had this insane banger. And they're like, oh, Steve Maclin had another insane banger. Then you get in there with Josh Alexander, and by then everybody knows what's coming. They're like, well, this one's going to be crazy too. How do you... or do you even try to top what you did last year?
Well, that's the fun part is when you go into anything, especially with a feud of somebody who's your friend kind of behind the scenes and also your enemy on television, how can we make this the best story possible? And he's someone that has made me better from my time being in TNA and even for the future where we're going. I hope this isn't the last one, but it is a no DQ match. And this is kind of hopefully, the end of what we got going on, and then it's on to bigger and better things, and that's the TNA world title.
Something that you have won before, man, one of the most insane visuals that you will ever see was with you bloodied. My God, it was special. Like, what does that image mean to you?
What I'm willing to do I love what I do for a living, and it's putting my all into this and my passion, and just I love being a big kid in my underwear playing pro wrestler. Not playing pro wrestler, but being a pro wrestler, I should say, because that's what my profession is, and I'm getting good at, or I am good at, I guess. I don't know. But
I
however
feel
you
like you're
look at
very
that,
good at it. You're very
however
good
you
at
look
it.
at that. But no, it's just a cool moment, and it's something that a lot of people tell me all the time. That's one thing that stands out to them from the past few years in TNA is that match with me and PCO, and having Scott D'Amore put that world title around my waist with a completely bloody, which is how I wish it went off the air, but whatever. What are you gonna do?
What were your feelings about how it went off the air? I
Oh, it was
mean, you say
fine.
you
It's
wish.
just, it just, I had a different vision for how we were going in the story, and then the office had a different
Sure.
vision on their end. So it's just how it works out, and just creatively. And then, yeah, but I'm still happy with my title reign that I had. Do I wish it was longer? Yes. Will we get back to that? Yes, that's the plan.
Is any part of your feud with Josh Alexander because he was like absolutely smoked by me in a scooter race?
Could be. You're still on that, huh? Is
Yeah, listen.
that long?
All right, listen. I came back to wrestling like a year ago and I haven't won a single match since. I haven't even come close.
Well, you
I've got to take
shouldn't.
victories where I can get them. And if
Fine.
a scooter race with one shoe, mind you, with Ross Foreman as a witness,
That's a good
he gets
witness to have,
stick.
too.
He's probably he's probably a notary. I bet that Ross is probably a notary. So he would have to rubber stamp that as well. Like, but yeah, I absolutely smoked him. It wasn't close. He made up some excuse. I don't know. Maybe I was on steroids. Maybe I wasn't.
I don't
I'm
know
not
how
gonna
sports
confirm
enhancement drugs could help you on a scooter race, but okay. If anything,
Listen,
the
I
lighter
won,
you
didn't
are on a
I?
scooter, you would think the lighter you are on a scooter would be better.
You would think, but listen, muscle weighs more than fat. I don't know what the thing is. Who cares? I won, but I'm just glad to see that as a person who. You know, we've talked an awful lot. We've done a lot of interviews. We've got a good rapport. You were like, "All right, Josh, you couldn't beat him. I know you can't beat me." And then you've just pummeled him ever since. It's just become a
I'm
hobby
very
for
happy
you.
with the feud that we've had since even we were supposed to wrestle at Rebellion a few years back when I did win the
Yes.
title against Kushida. And it just stinks when injuries kind of happen, and an injury plagued me too, which kind of caught up to me eventually. But it's just funny how things work out. And I think that's the fun part is too, is you don't look at the big picture later on as much as you do in the moment because you're frustrated or you're annoyed and you want things to work out, but then you just gotta wait the long game, be patient. And that's wrestling, is you're in it for the marathon, not the sprint.
But I mean, like even like we're talking about this match up here. You all had a really great six-man tag team match recently as well. Like Jonathan Gresham, who I think is also a wrestling genius. I watch his tutorials on his YouTube even. Like he's
He
really, really
is
great.
the fact that his name's not brought up enough for how good he is and how good his mind is, it still blows my mind. And I just like seeing how he likes to be different with things, and I'm ready to go with it because it's fun for me. If you want to go that way, we could do it. Like, let's do it. It's fun because then it's just you get to create and feed off of each other that way.
And then, like, you've got Sinner and Saint in there with you. And I was at, I can't remember if it was I think it was the Cincinnati shows, the Newport shows. I saw them wrestle Good Hands, and I was blown away. It was first match of the night. I was like, oh my God, these guys are incredible.
They're both very talented, and the more reps they get on TV, they'll really like hone in their craft. They're very good at what they do, but once TV again is another different body of work, and once they can figure out that element, they're going to be someone to reckon with as a tag team going in the future, especially as a homegrown, hopefully, in TNA.
Yeah, like I was incredibly unsurprised when I got the news tip that they got signed. Because after seeing that match, I was like, oh, well, yeah, those are the type of guys that you see, and you're like, well, we're gonna sign them before somebody else does. Because now that we've put them on TV, if anybody finds out they don't have contracts, they're getting signed as well. Unfortunately, we've seen a guy that you have been in the ring with suffer a pretty serious injury, Chris Bay. When something like that happens, yeah,
Okay.
I encourage everybody to support him. Another one of the great guys in wrestling. When something like that happens, I mean, what goes through your head besides obviously offering him well wishes? But I mean, you guys are quite literally putting your livelihoods on the line every time you're in the ring.
don't take for granted what we do, and appreciate what we do even more. I know people like to throw the F word around a lot for pro wrestling, but it's not. What we do is we harm our bodies every time we step through those ropes or even through the curtain. And I'm not going to go into more detail. I love Chris, and I know he wants everything to kind of be from his mouth and his mouth alone, and all his business. So I'll let him tell his story when he's ready, and I know that's what he wants. But just know that every day we're thinking about him, and just don't take for granted what we do in the ring. Learn the basics, like, because it's just something basic can happen that just things go wrong. You can do the most darndest thing by hanging from the belts the night before and getting speared, and then you do a basic lockup, tackle, drop down spot later on, and you never know how it's going to happen. And most of the dumbest injuries happen in wrestling on the most basic things.
I believe Brian Danielson got a concussion once locking up.
Yeah, so it's just
like you never know. Like
that's an example of it. So it's just don't take for granted what we do, and also don't cut corners on what we're doing. If you are a pro wrestler and you are training to become one, like know the basics, know the fundamentals, and don't take this lightly, because it could be your last match anytime. You don't know if it's going to be your last match. That's why I always tell everybody, I try to approach every match as if it's my last. That's going to be my favorite match coming up, because I get to do this, and who knows, maybe this Friday is, you never know. That's the one I always look forward to, is my next match.
Yes. One thing I love about you, you're a fantastic tag team wrestler, almost like with anybody you team with. And earlier this year, we saw that with Mike Santana, who is also a phenomenal tag team wrestler against a phenomenal tag team. What was it like getting in there with a guy who was known for teaming with somebody completely different, different styles, all that stuff? And then immediately it's like, it works out pretty well.
Mike and I are very similar with how we are kind of gritty, but we also commit to what we do no matter what it is to the fullest. And that's one thing that I love about Mike, and I'm loving the rise of him in TNA, because you kind of see the perfect storm matchup kind of happening for the future. And I'm very excited for what that is. But for us to team against the Rascals with Trey and Zach, just two guys that I love to work with, and it's a night off any night of the week with them. And it's just fun, because it's just like, hey, how about this? Yeah, sure. Hey, do you think you can? And that's even the fun part, too. Like, they're two guys that I'd be like, hey, I was thinking of this stupid idea. Do you think this is possible? And I'm like, yeah, let's try it. And it just kind of works. But being able to do that with Mike and kind of seeing the gel of how we kind of work together and how just it fit was it was really cool. And it's just also was even funnier, because we both tried to get away from tag teaming with anybody for a while. And here we are coming in. We're like, we got to work together. So let's make the most of it. And we did.
When I ask you about one of my favorite people in pro wrestling, Killer Kelly, you worked with her an awful lot in Revolver, just a wonderful woman, obviously. Congrats to her and Myron on the birth of their child. How was that for you? I mean, Revolver, like, my God, just what a success that has been. And you guys specifically in Revolver, what a success that was.
Yeah, Red has been a good group with me, Cologne, friggin' Pledge, Kelly, and then Ricky Shane Page, too. It's just a group of misfits.
Page, another brilliant wrestling mind. Yes. Go figure.
It's just funny that you just put a bunch of misfits in a group, and I'll kudos to Sammy Callahan on that one, especially for what he does at Revolver, and he really lives up to the for our generation, by our generation, with the slogan for what Revolver is. And it's just, it's one of the hottest indies to be at, and it doesn't even feel like an indie when you're at it, too. And that's what's cool about it. But to just work with that group, it has been a lot of fun, because it's opening my eyes to kind of how we can mix deathmatch wrestling and making it make more sense and make moments out of things. And just seeing Pledge's kind of growth as a pro from really having no experience to kind of get a little bit more experience and being out there. And then even working with Kelly, too, it's just been a blast. And congrats to her and Myron as well. I know I said it to them personally, but it's just cool to see the wrestling community and how it is growing, especially with the next generation of what's gonna, who knows, maybe the baby's gonna be a pro wrestler here in the future.
The genetics that baby's gotta have, man. The genetics. I mean, Myron, another guy I think companies should
very
be falling
underrated.
All over should be falling all over themselves to sign him. Like, the GCW show I worked against Effie was the first time I had seen where he did the cutter from over the top rope off the apron. It was unbelievable. It was breathtaking to see live. Like, it's a wonderful guy there as well. But man, that Revolver is is such a phenomenon. It was one of the most unsurprising things to me to find out that they were like, yeah, we're going to have Sami Callihan do some additional work for us in TNA because we can utilize his brain. When you see stuff like that unfold, does it kind of like reinforce like, yeah, I'm working the right places because they see the same thing that I see in Revolver.
Yeah. And it's just also keeping an open mind to working with different thoughts and processes of how people think of how they want to have things or see things. And like Sammy's another person that I can go to with ideas, especially creatively with like how he does things at Revolver, how he sees the story going. Cause that's the first thing I'm like, all right, we're doing this on this date. Where do we see this going down in the future? Like, what do you see this in the long run? Or is this just a one-off? And that's how I always try to start out. Like, where are we going with this? What's the business in this? And he's someone that gets that. And that's the fun part too, to just be able to work with somebody like that.
So, I mean, I've mentioned this, you and I have interviewed like, gosh, 8 or 9 times.
Yeah.
What is something you want the world to know about Steve Macklin that they might not know?
Man, I don't know. I'm a good cook. I'm pretty good.
Are
cook.
You?
Yeah.
What do you cook? I'm interested in this.
A lot of chili. It's not hard. It's hard to screw up a chili unless you just do bad seasoning. But chilies.
Yeah, but the right chili. But the
I'm
right
good at my
chili.
Dad's breakfast good. Food. Ask Tom Hannafin. He loves my pancakes.
Okay.
Yeah. Anytime you come visit.
It could have been you in the New Day. They really messed up.
So that was, we've talked about this idea. Me and Big E, I threw him the storyline one during COVID time when I was there on SmackDown and we weren't on TV. We're trying to come up with an angle for something cinematic. And I wanted us to wrestle in between an IHOP and a Waffle House. And it was going to be waffles versus pancakes. I know I've said this to you before, but we'll go over it again. But I was,
buddy.
To me, that was the greatest fucking idea. But I'm really curious on their storyline now, too, of what they're going with how Kofi and Woods were the other night. So it's cool to see.
Oh my God.
These storylines going the way they are. And just for me, still trying to be a fan in ways and trying to keep up with whatever thing's going on in the wrestling world, which is, I don't know how fans do it. Cause I try to focus in on what's going on. I don't know how fans do it. I don't know how you guys do it, but just trying to keep an eye on what everybody else is doing here or there, especially in NXT, and just kind of seeing who's kind of on the come ups there. And it's really cool to just kind of just see the wrestling world growing. And wrestling, this is the hottest peak right now, I think, ever.
I think that's the biggest indication of how growing up changes you. Because when I was little, I was watching Nitro. I was watching the replay of Nitro. I was watching Raw. Anything I could get my hands on. Saturday morning, Mania with Todd Pettengill, watching it. Sunday
morning,
action.
You remember Saturday morning Livewire?
Of course I do. Of course I do.
I always loved that.
Like that was great. Blast off on WGN, watched it. Main Event, WCW, Saturday night. I watched Pro in the mornings. I watched Action Zone with Doc Hendricks, all that stuff. Now, when somebody says, is this company adding a new show? I go, I hope not.
It's just trying to keep up with it. And it's wrestling is really cool right now. It's cool to see wrestling be cool again.
Oh, well, Steve Macklin facing Josh Alexander this Friday, WrestleCade Turning Point. I'm excited to see you there. I want to thank you so much for taking the time. And also want to thank you very much for not knowing about Ferdinand Magellan, because that's getting clipped. I'm sorry. It's getting clipped.
It's okay. That's okay. It's you're not going to know everything. That's one of those answers I can say. It's like, hey, I don't know the answer at this time, but when I find out, I will let you know. I should just start answering my wife that way. Like, oh, I don't know at this time, babe, but when I find out, I'll
really, really make her feel bad about it. Like,
no,
like, you know, if you were a better teacher, maybe I'd know this.
No, it's fun because it's something fun for us to do around the house, and it makes it enjoyable, especially when I'm doing the yard work.
Yeah, fair. It's a good, listen, and you live in a good place to be doing yard work all year long. I'm incredibly jealous of that right now, but
thank you.
My God, Steve Macklin. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.